Blog Talk Radio.
Getting ready to do our midday service. We have a mid
Wednesday, midweek service every Wednesday at 12 o'clock noon Eastern Standard Time. And I was looking for some music to play while we do the worship section, and I found that song by Kamala Mann. Kamala Mann sings, and the name of the song is The Joy of the Lord. And I thought it was so powerful, because no matter what we're facing on today, we have to realize that the joy of the Lord that's way down on the deep side of us, way deep down on the inside of us, really is our strength. When we're facing hard times, when you're facing hard times, you have to realize that it is the joy of the Lord that's deep on the inside of you that is your strength. And that joy is what's going to bring you through each and every hard time. So I want to encourage you to continue to hold on, continue to hold on to the joy of the Lord. Praise God anyhow. Praise God in the middle of that situation. Praise God while your children are acting crazy. Praise God while it looks like you don't have enough money in the account. Praise God while you're looking for that next assignment, that next job. Praise God in the middle of the doctor's report that may not look good, but praise God anyhow, because your praise shows God your faith. And as you praise God in the middle of the situation, God sees your faith and he sees your trust in him, and God moves. God moves on your behalf. God's going to move on your behalf. I declare that to you today. God is going to move on your behalf. Hold on. Hold on. You know, it's amazing, because I was asking myself, actually, I was asking the Lord some questions the other day, just sitting on my couch, you know, and I began to, you know, ask God when he was going to do certain things in my life. You know, you ever have those times when you ask the Lord, when, Lord, when? When are you going to do it? You know, you feel like you may be running out of patience. You feel like you might be running out of strength. And you just begin to cry out to the Lord and ask the Lord, when, God? When are you going to move? When? And that was one of the moments that I was having. I know that God is going to move. I just don't know when. Amen. And can I get a witness? I know somebody out there knows what I'm talking about, but you know that God is going to move. You just don't know when. And I was asking God when. I was asking God, how long? How long, Lord? How long before you move out in the middle of this situation? You know, and God is faithful. God is faithful. God will answer you. God will answer your prayers. He will answer your questions. Amen. And he will show up and show out even in the middle of your situation. And God began to speak to me as I was asking him when, and telling him, Lord, I need to see the manifestation of your word. Has anybody ever had one of those moments when you needed to see God show up? You needed to see, you had heard the word, you had been prophesied to, you had read the word, you had heard the preached word, you grabbed that word for yourself. You were hoping for some stuff to happen as a result of the preached word or the prophesied word, or even the word that you read in your Bible, and you heard the word, and you felt like you needed to see a manifestation of God's word. God, I need to see my children come in and be saved. I need to see my husband acting like the man I married, the man that loves me and adores me and respects me. I need to see God. I need to see money. I need to see some money. I know I got a whole bunch of amens on that, but I need to see some money in my bank account. I need to see my body healed. You know, we need to see signs and wonders. And I was asking God, I said, God, I need to see the manifestation of your word. And I don't mind sharing this because, you know, we have to come together and talk it out, you know, as we walk it out. Amen. We have to talk about some of the times when we stopped and say, you know what, God, I don't know if I can make another step unless you show me something. Amen. And some of us get to that point. You know, the man of God threw out the fleece. He put out the fleece when God told him that he was going to be able to conquer the enemy Gideon threw out a fleece. He put out a fleece. He said, God, if it's really true, then I need you to let the grass stay dry and wet this fleece. And God did it. And he said, if it's really true, I need the grass to be wet and this fleece to be dry. And God did it again. And that's what I'm saying to you. God's going to do it. Amen. If he did it before, he'll do it again. God's going to do it again. Just hold on and believe. Think back over your life and think about all of the things that the Lord has done on your behalf. Think about all the things that God has done already in your life. Think about the miracles that God has done in your life. Think about the change that he has made in your life. And think about how God has moved in the middle of certain situations when you thought it was hopeless. You, if the truth were to be told, you didn't even have the faith to believe that God was going to do something. But God showed up anyway, in spite of the fact that you did not display any faith. And he showed out in the middle of your situation. And God gave you that miracle. He gave you that job. He gave you that car. He gave you that house. He gave you that husband. He gave you that wife. He gave you those, that child that they told you you would never have. He gave you peace in your mind and joy in your heart. God gave you the desires of your heart, even when you didn't fully believe that he was going to do it. And I'm telling you here now that if he did it before, and not if, because we know God has moved in all of our lives, but since he did it before, hold on to your faith. You only need faith as a mustard seed. Hold on to your faith and know that God's getting ready. God's getting ready to do it again. Amen. All you have to do, all that you have to do is trust and obey. Trust and obey. And God, and believe, and God will do the rest. Amen. Hallelujah. Trust, obey, and believe, and God will do the rest. And don't forget to pray. Amen. So when times get hard, just remember, God's in the middle of that situation. He says in the book of Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, the called according to his purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. You have a call on your life. There's purpose on your life. No matter what you're doing today, know that God wants to get the glory out of your life. And all that you have to do is let him, let go and let God. All you need is faith and some mustard seed. You just need a little bit of faith, a little bit of faith. And then you need to put some works with that faith and go ahead and believe God. Step out on faith. Obey the Lord. Stay close to God. Stay close to him. He is that necessary air that we breathe. Amen. He is the air we breathe. Amen. Hallelujah. He is our bread from heaven, my God. He is the bread of life. Hallelujah. Stay close to him because he is our life. Amen. So, you know, I know even on this day before Mother's Day that some of us are facing hard times, but I want you to be encouraged. God wants you to be encouraged. And even as you cry out, when, Lord, when, and even as you declare, I need to see the manifestation of your word, know that God's working things out for your good and his glory. You know, it's amazing because after I cried out, I went to sleep. And I woke up this morning, I began to read my Bible. And God, when you pray, God will give you an answer. Now, I don't know if this is your answer, but this is what God said to me. And it made me laugh when I read it. I mean, I'm just doing my general Bible reading, my daily Bible reading. And I opened my Bible, and I was going to finish reading from where I left off in the book of Jeremiah. And I'm reading Jeremiah, and I opened my Bible to Jeremiah 12. And I start reading from 12:1, and I'm reading, and then I get down to verse 6. I get down to Jeremiah 12:6, and it reads like this. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how will thou do in the swelling of Jordan? My God. And I had to chuckle. I was like, wow, God, really? You know, and he was saying to me, toughen up, girl. You know, if you're running with the footmen and you can't handle it, how do you think you're going to run with the horses? And if you can't, you know, can't contend in the land of peace, what's going to happen when the storm comes? Amen. So I don't know if that's your answer, but that was my answer. God, if you pray, seek God's face, God will give you your own answer. But he gave me that answer, and he said, endure hardness like a good soldier, because I'm in the middle of it. I'm taking you places, and this hard place that you're in right now is training for where I'm taking you. Somebody has to hear that right now. God is saying to you, I'm taking you places. There are some things that I'm going to do in your life that are going to blow your enemy's mind. There are some miracles that I'm going to work in your life that's going to blow your enemy's mind. You think I've worked miracles before, but God said you have not seen anything yet. I'm getting ready to do some stuff in your life, and all that you're going through on today, the hard times that you're going through on today, the persecution that you're going through on today, the tribulation that you're going through on today is only preparation for promotion, preparation for where I'm taking you, amen, hallelujah. God says you got to endure hardness like a good soldier. And hang out, hang tough on this level. Hang tough on this level, because where I'm taking you, you're going to need even more strength. That's why I encourage you in the beginning of the broadcast to keep the joy of the Lord. Keep your joy. Don't let nobody or nothing steal your joy. Keep the joy of the Lord. Let the joy of the Lord, joy of the Lord, truly be your strength. Because you know what? If you can praise God anyhow, if you could praise God in the middle of trouble, trial, persecution, tribulation, or in the middle of hard times, in the middle of dire circumstances, if you could praise God in the middle of heartbreak and heartache, my God, then God will show, God will know that you're ready for the next level, amen, for the next dimension. You know, when you can praise God anyway, then that shows a certain level of maturity, that you have gotten to the point where you know to go to God and pray and allow God to give you a peace, my God, a peace that surpasses all understanding. You know what? They're coming against me. My enemy is coming against me, but you can say you still have peace, my God. Your enemy might be coming against you, but you can say you still have peace, even in the middle of that storm, even in the middle of the Jordan. Come on, because you know what happened in the Jordan. God spread open the Jordan, my God, and the people were able to walk across, my God, on dry land. So, God, let me tell you something. There's some dry land in the middle of your storm. There is some dry land in the middle of your storm. So praise the Lord. This is Pastor Prophet Rebecca Simmons, and I welcome you to the Women to Women and Women to Man show. Amen. We welcome you here on today. Amen. We praise you, and we thank God for all who are tuning in and everybody who takes time out on Saturday to come to tune into the show. And we're excited because we always have something special in tune for us. Amen. He always has something special in tune for us. So I want to take a short break and I'll be right back. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. J-C-C-S.
Oh,
Amen. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. You got to be prayed up. Amen. And that's what I was just talking about. When you're going through a storm, know that our God will. Amen. He is not only able, but he is willing. Our God will step into the middle of that situation. Amen. He will take care of every storm in your life. And you know, the thing about being prayed up, the Lord showed me on today, you know, about fasting and praying. And when Jesus told the disciples, when they wondered why they couldn't cast out the demon, he said, this kind comes out only by fasting and praying. You know, and we think about the fact, you know, so many people say, well, I have to fast in order to get to God. You know what? I want to say this, and a lot of people may some people may agree, some people may not, but fasting is more for you than it is for God. Amen. Fasting is a spiritual discipline. And when you fast, amen, you're tapping into another realm. You know, what you feed grows, in other words. So if you feed your body natural food, then of course your body is going to grow. And if you feed your body in a spiritual realm, then of course, if you feed your spirit, amen, then of course your spirit will grow, amen. So sometimes what we have to do is starve the flesh and feed the spirit so the spirit can be magnified in our lives, amen. So that's what God is basically saying, you know, about being prayed up. He said, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Keep your communication lines open with the Lord. And when you fast, what fasting does is fasting trains you to deny the flesh. Fasting trains you to deny the flesh. And also what fasting does is it develops you spiritually. So you get spiritual strength that you may not have had before. You know, in other words, when the storm comes, you're more spiritually inclined to handle the storm than you would be had you not been practicing the discipline of fasting. So fasting is something that we do to endure the storm. Amen. Hallelujah. And again, yes, fasting does move the hand of God, because when you go into a spiritual discipline such as fasting, decide that you're going to deny your flesh, my God, you're saying, God, I'm putting my flesh down. I'm denying myself. I'm seeking your face. God honors that. God honors that. When we don't seek the potato chips and the french fries and the ice cream, when we decide that we're not going to seek the steak and potatoes and the fried chicken or the white sugars and the white flowers, when we decide to put down those staples that we lust after, amen, and decide that we're going to seek God, then God indeed can be magnified in our lives. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So again, be prayed up. Be prayed up and believe God. Prayer gives you peace. Amen. Prayer gives us that peace that surpasses all understanding. And speaking about peace, I'll have a lot of peace once I start to take your calls. Amen. Because I want to talk to you. You can call in 646-652-4832. We welcome you to the Woman to Woman, Woman to Man show. We thank God for all of you, women and men. Amen, who are listening to us on today. Amen. We pray that something from today will bless you immensely. Amen. And give you the ability to keep pushing forward. Push. Amen. When it gets hard, just push. That was the word that I preached last week. Push. Amen. We have quite a few people on the phone lines. I welcome you all, quite a few people in the chat room. I want to welcome everybody who's with me on today. And again, you can call in. I want to say happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers out there. Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. I tell you, God is pleased with your efforts in raising up godly seed, and we applaud you today. Happy Mother's Day. Big shout out to my mom. I'm down all the way down in Sanford, Florida. I'm in New Jersey, and I miss my mother. I miss her macaroni and cheese. I miss my mother's cooking, her cakes, her caramel cake. Oh, I miss mom. I almost want to get on a plane and go to Florida. But I miss my mother, but she's here. I thank God that she's still yet in the land of the living. Amen. And I want to, you know, just say to those of you whose mom has gone on, you know, cherish the memories. Cherish the memories. If it's one thing that you could hold on to, that's the memories that you had, that you have, amen, of the great times that you have had with your mom, and know that we'll see her again in glory, amen, hallelujah. So by way of announcement, we want to welcome you, invite you to come out to our Mother's Day Sunday worship service on tomorrow, and that's at 11 o'clock a.m. at New Creation Christian Ministries. We're at 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey, and that's every Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m., and we welcome you to come out. We also welcome you to join us on our midweek, midday service on every Wednesday at 12 o'clock noon right here on blogtalkradio.com/power, or you can call 646-652-4832 to listen. You can listen from your desk. You can listen from anywhere. We won't be on the air this week. Pastor and I have a meeting, amen, with the Prison Reentry Task Force over in Union County, so we won't be here, but we will definitely be here next Wednesday. So we pray that you will join us on next Wednesday. Also, I will, on May the 27th, I will be preaching at New St. James Baptist Church over at 346 Clinton Place for their Women's Day, and that service is at 3 o'clock p.m., and we welcome you to come out and support me. Listen, I would love to see you, not only to support me, but there is a word from the Lord. Amen. Amen. So I would love to see you on that day. On June the 2nd, I'll be having a book signing for the Cry of a Woman's Heart at Jesus Book and Gift Store, and that's over in Greenbrook, New Jersey. June the 9th, we're having a one-day workshop, The Cry of a Woman's Heart, at the House of Prayer, Church of God in Christ, and that's in Orange, on Hickory Street in Orange, New Jersey. And then the schedule just continues. Amen. God is doing great things with the ministry, and we invite you to go over to our website at NCCM Online to take a look at everything that God is doing, nccmonline.org. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's it for our announcements. We have Minister Valerie Allen in the chat room. Maybe she'll tune in later to tell us about her exciting upcoming event. We're looking forward to the screening of her documentary, Amen, Here I Am to Worship, that's taking place on May the 19th. And also Evangelist Cynthia Robinson is having her very first book signing. Woo-hoo! I tell you, God is doing some awesome things in the kingdom of God. And that's also on May the 19th. One is earlier in the afternoon and one is later in the afternoon. So we invite you to come out. I'll be giving some more information later on in the program as to how you can go to those two events. And prayerfully, they'll call in to let us know what's going on. Listen, don't leave me here by myself. The phone lines are open, 646-652-4832. I want to give a shout-out to my wonderful husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons, whom I love so very much. You know, we will be going on, I think my anniversary. He'll correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's July the 20th. And we will be going on 16 years of marriage. Amen. And I thought to say 16 years of wedded bliss, but it has not been 16 years of bliss. But we have been married for 16 years. And I tell you, it's much more, probably more my fault than his, that we were not blissfully married, because I had issues. Girlfriend had issues. Amen. I had some issues that I had to deal with. And thank God for the man of God who stood by my side while God got all of the ugliness up out of me. Amen. And I know a lot of married men out there can relate that you know, you got married and then you found out that your new wife, your beautiful new wife, had an ugly side. And for all of the single folk out there, let me just let you know that when you get married, there is going to be a pretty side, and there is going to be an ugly side. But God gives us grace Somebody say grace. God gives us grace to work that thing out, amen, to get to the point where it's all beautiful. And it truly is. We have gotten to the point, my husband and I, Pastor Anthony and I, have gotten to the point where it's all beautiful, it's all good. I mean, we have our disagreements. We might disagree once a month, maybe once a month. And I think that's good because we used to disagree like every day, every day. And, you know, disagreement is healthy, but it's how you disagree that makes the difference. And we used to disagree in a bad way. Now we disagree in the right way, amen, the godly way. And we just thank God for it. I thank God for him. I thank God for marriage. I thank God for my children, amen, hallelujah. For the four children, I have two children by marriage and one through marriage, amen, and then I have one pre-marriage. So I thank God for all of my children, amen, Hakita, Justin, Marcus, and Kayla, amen. I thank God for all of them, my grandchildren. They're such a blessing. So to God be the glory, to God be the glory. I'm grateful. I want to talk about a minute, President Barack Obama. That's something I posted on my Facebook wall today. And I truly do not judge our president. I admire the work that he's done. I believe he's done a great job. I believe he's done a great job being the president of our country. But here lately, he's endorsed gay marriages. And that's been all over the headlines, all over the news, the internet, and everybody's talking about it. I was disappointed to see that. You know, I was really disappointed and surprised to see him come out and endorse gay marriage. You know, I knew he was okay with civil unions, you know, but marriage is truly, truly, truly between a man and a woman. God designed marriage to be between a man and a woman. He created Adam. He created Adam, amen. And then he created Eve. He said, "Let there be man." He created Adam from the dust. He created Adam from the dust, amen. Hallelujah. Then he put Adam to sleep, because there was no suitable mate after he had done all his work and animals and everything. Not one of them were suitable for Adam. So he put Adam to sleep, took out a rib, and he formed and fashioned the woman, Eve, amen. And he created women to be beautiful. I mean, women are absolutely beautiful. There is nothing like the creation of women. Amen. So he gave that woman to the man to be his wife, to be his helpmeet. Here that was, to be the helpmeet, not to be in control, but to be the helpmeet. And that's where marriage started, right there in the Garden of Eden, right there. And that's God's plan for marriage. That's his original plan. And guess what? God's plan has not changed. Amen. Now, a lot of people will say, well, the president of the United States, he's a president. He's not a preacher. He's not a pastor. You know, why are you so disappointed? Well, because he's a Christian. Because he stated in that same interview, he stated that he's a Christian. And as Christians, you know, what we have to do is stand on the word of God. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, our president, the Christian, had put aside his Bible, and he was really moving out on feelings and, you know, emotions and even maybe ambition, some may say. I don't know. I'm not there. I don't know. Some say it's a move. It's a political move because he wants to win this next election. And more power to him. But the thing about it is you cannot – we cannot just put our Christianity to the side. You know, if God be God, let God be God. If Baal be God, let Baal be God. But whatever we declare, that's what people are watching. People are watching us as Christians. People are watching our lives. They're seeing how are we going to live, what are we going to say, what are we going to do. How are we going to act? People are watching you. Woman of God, man of God, people are watching you. You cannot afford to straddle the fence. You cannot afford to compromise your faith. You cannot afford to backslide. You cannot afford to be going backwards and forward with this thing. Either you believe or you don't. And if you believe the word of God, you have to believe the whole word of God. All God's word is God-breathed. The Bible is breathed out by God, inspired into the hearts of men through the Holy Ghost for them to put out on paper, amen, so that we could read the vision, amen, so that we could read the Bible, amen, and take that vision, like Habakkuk said, and run with it, amen. That's the vision that we're running with, the vision, the plan that God laid aside for man. It's not what I think, it's not my opinion, it's what God says, amen. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, amen. His plan is way greater than our plan. And either we're going to line up with the plan of God or we're not. So that's where my disappointment came in at. It's not so much as, you know, the president of the United States is a Christian. It's more to me like a Christian stood up and said, no, I don't believe that birth begins at conception. Now, you know, that's another issue that I had with our president earlier when he was first getting elected, that he believed it was okay. I believe he was kind of like okay, kind of gray on the area of abortion. And it's the same thing with me with abortion. I believe abortion is murder. I believe that a child in the womb is just that, a child in the womb. That is a life, and we have no right to take that life. And I don't speak out on these issues often, but the truth is that I believe God's word. Life is life, and he has not given. He said, thou shalt not kill. And when you discontinue a life that's begun in the womb, you are killing. So I thank God for forgiveness, because most of you know that I have had an abortion. I thank God for forgiveness. And that was before I got saved. Let me say it again. I did have an abortion, and that was before I got saved, amen. But I thank God for forgiveness, amen. I thank God that when he saved me, all of my sins were put into the sea of forgetfulness, amen, and that I didn't have to, you know, worry about being condemned any longer for the sins that I did pre-Christ, amen, before I became a Christian. And that's what I'm saying to you. If you did something wrong before you became a Christian, then it's over. You know, you've been forgiven. And as you do stuff wrong, as you are a Christian, God will forgive you. As you repent, despise the sin, and turn from it, God will forgive you. You know, he's a forgiving God. He is. But we cannot, as Christians, endure sin. We cannot endure wrong. And homosexuality, two women getting together, is a sin. If it's not a man and a woman, it's a sin. Amen. And remember, bestiality, remember when Adam had already had the animals, God said none of them were suitable for him to have as a mate. So he had to make him a woman. So, you know, people talking about bestiality, that's wrong. Come on. Sex between an adult and a child, that's wrong. Amen. Those are sins. So we need to call black, black, and white, white. Amen. Let's get out of the gray area and really stand for what we believe. We have to make our declaration. We have to let our declaration be, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. It really is. And listen, I know we love Obama. I know a lot of people love Barack Obama, President Barack Obama. A lot of people just love him, amen. Like I said, I think he's doing a great job as a president. I like him. I personally like him as a man. I love the way that he represents as a man, as a family man. You know, the way that he takes care of his wife and takes care of his children. I love the intellect that he has, you know, and the wisdom that he has. You know, I'm not judging him. I'm just saying, you know, come on, Christians. Come on, Christians. Stop playing. Stop playing. God is saying stop playing. Stop playing. Either we're going to stand for right, or we're going to stand for wrong. We're going to stand for righteousness, or we're not. And the Bible tells us in Matthew 6:33 to what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto us. And the Bible also tells us that cursed is the man that leans on the arm of flesh, but blessed is he that trusts in the Lord. Amen. So we have to know that we got to put our trust in the Lord. You can't, look, too many of you are put, not you, but too many people are putting their trust in our president, in man. We're idolizing him, and we need to tear down our idols. Amen. We have to tear down our idols. Amen. Hallelujah. And stand on the side of righteousness. So I don't know. As far as the other candidates, I haven't been following. I don't know about the who I'm going to vote for. I don't know. I haven't gotten there yet. But that's a prayer concern. That's something that we each have to do. We have to go down on our knees and say, Lord, can I push this button or can I pull this lever and vote and come in agreement with this candidate? Amen? Amen. So, listen, it's 1:43. This is Pastor Prophet Rebecca Simmons, and I've been talking for 43 minutes. Call me. 646-652-4832. Let your voice be heard. Maybe you want to shout out your mom. Maybe you have a comment on something or a question about something that I've said already. Amen. Or maybe you have something on your heart that you would want to speak about, that you would want to talk about. We certainly want to hear from you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So what else? What else can I, you know, and when I think about this, listen, I want to say this, and God is telling me to say this. God loves us so much. God, you know, the Lord, God the Father, you know, I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for the sacrifice of Christ. But listen to me, God the Father loves us so much. He loves us so much. He loves us so much. You know, that he sent his only begotten son to die for us so that we would not perish, but we would have eternal life, you know. So, and that life, that word for life is Zoe, which means that God wants us to have, like, this great life. He wants us to have this blessed life. He loves us that much. And all that God requires from us is that we walk with him, that he be our God, and we be his people. You know, for all of you New Testament readers, you really got to take a trip through the Old Testament and the Bible, because as you're reading the Old Testament, that's when you truly do find out the true character of God, how much he loves his people. God chose you from the before the beginning of creation. God knew when he formed man, God knew he wanted to have a special relationship with man. And you were included in that plan. My God, you got to hear me on today. God knew that he was going to have a special relationship with man. When I say man, I mean men and women. And you were included in that plan. So why would we want to live our lives contrary to that plan? You know, why would we want to live our lives outside the relationship with God? Why would we want to live our lives abusing ourselves, amen, with drugs and alcohol and going into different beds, from bed to bed, man to man, woman to woman? You know, men, why do you think you have to put so many notches on your belt? You know, why do you have to put so many trophies? You know, feel like you have to have so many trophies, you know, you slept with. And even Christian men, you know, there's this game in the church that Christian men are playing. You know, you have married men, Christian men in the church, and they're married men, and they're targeting, my God, single women, and they are exchanging phone numbers with single women, or they're in Facebook flirting with single women, and they're even trying to go over to the homes of single women, and they're married. You know, first and foremost, single women, don't even let the brother come over. Even if you're single and he's single, don't even let him come into your house, because you know what? You're not that strong. You are not that strong. Joseph had to run. When Potiphar's wife was coming after him, trying to have sex with him, Joseph had to run. So you better resist that temptation. Listen to me. Resist temptation, because if you put yourself in a compromising position with the right brother, single woman, whether he's single or married, if you're in the wrong position with the right brother, or the, you know, you find yourself in the wrong position with the wrong brother, you're going to find yourself in trouble because our flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. And there are a lot of brothers in the church running game. They're already dating. Already dating or already married, and they are targeting other single women in the church because they think that these women are desperate. They think that women, they think that single women in the church are desperate. And I want to say the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. I'm hoping, sisters, single sisters, that you're not showing yourself as desperate, you know, that men are not getting that perception from you, and you're not being silly women falling for these stupid lines that these brothers are giving you. Well, I want to come over and have Bible study. But you're married. No, you can't come to my house. Well, I need you to come. I want to come show you. I want to come pray with you. No, no, you're not coming over. You know, I'll see you at church, brother. We have prayer meeting every Tuesday. We have Bible study every Wednesday. That's where you'll see me. Amen. And we got to stop women. We have to stop falling for these games. And brothers, we have to stop playing these games. You know, we need boundaries in marriage. If you're married, you have no business going to lunch with that beautiful sister. You have no business going to her house. You have no business, you know, complimenting her in a way that's lustful, you know. Then you know what that is. So we got to check ourselves. You know, we really, really have to check ourselves and how we're acting in the church. Amen. How we're acting. We got to check ourselves. You know, stop playing games. Stop running games with each other. You know, stop falling into temptation. Lust is real. Lust is real. Sexual desire is real. And when that demon gets out of the bag, it's hard to put it back in. It's hard to, you know, it's hard to, once you, Song of Songs said, why awaken love before it's ready? You know, why awaken some feelings that you're not ready to handle? Amen. So we have to be careful about how we conduct ourselves, about how we interact with each other. We have to stop playing games in the church. We have to stop playing games in the church. You know, from the pastor to the pew member, amen, we have to stop playing games in the church. We need to set up boundaries. We have to walk circumspectly. We have to walk, you know, line up our walk with our call. Line up your walk with your call, amen. And we all have a call. All of us have a call on our lives. We've been called out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light, amen. We have been called. So, you know, just food for thought. It's just some of the things that run through my mind as I daily fight this fight, you know, daily I have to remind myself not to snap at my husband, you know, daily I have to remind myself not to look at certain content on the internet. Daily, you know, I have to remind myself not to speak to my children harshly, because that's the issue that I deal with, is my attitude. You know, I can get angry, and a lot of people that know me will say, no, not you. But, yeah, I can snap off, you know, if I'm not in the spirit. That's why the Bible tells us to live in the spirit, amen, so we won't gratify the desires of the flesh. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Pastor Anthony is here. If he's ready for the marriage moments, honey, if you just press 1 and I'll know to put you on the air. I want to say hello to everybody here. Ray and Kathy Jones, God bless you. Sister Tina Lane, God bless you. My friend Rosalyn, down in, I believe she's in North Carolina. Good to see you. Minister Valerie Allen in the chat room. Kimmy Poole, guest 1387, guest 1292 in the chat room. God bless you. Good to see you. Amen. Good to see you all. And welcome to the Woman to Woman, Woman to Man show. I'm looking for my callers. Normally the switchboard is lit up by now. And it just seems like you all want to hear me talk today. Amen. You want to hear me talk? So I'm going to introduce my husband now. You know, and I thank God for Jesus. You know, I really love Jesus, and I love the people of God. Amen. And God, I was saying that, I'm going to introduce my husband now, I was saying, though, I think I went off on a tangent, but I was saying that since the beginning of creation, God has always wanted to have a relationship with man. He's always had a very special relationship with us and always had a very special plan for us. And guess what? Since the beginning of creation, we have been hard-headed, we have been stiff-necked, and we have been rebellious. And we have always, since the beginning, if you go back to the Old Testament, you read from Genesis to Malachi, you will see that we have been obstinate, we have been stiff-necked, we have been rebellious, and we have constantly turned our back on God. And not only does it end at Malachi, it does not end at Malachi, but it continues throughout the New Testament, where we have constantly, the people of God, the chosen ones, the called out ones, we have constantly disobeyed and disregarded and disrespected God. And God is saying, if you ever want to live the life that I have for you, it has to stop. This has to stop. My church, my bride, that I'm coming, the bride of Christ, that Jesus is coming back for, has to remove the spots, and we have to remove the wrinkles, amen, and we really need to get it together. And this is a clarion call out to all Christians, amen, and those of you who want to believe. The church is not full of hypocrites. There are real Christians in the church of God. There are people who really love God. There are people who are trying to walk circumspectly, and a lot of you are here today, so you know what I'm talking about, that it is possible, that God will never tell you to do something that was not possible. And they don't teach like this. People don't want to talk like this because they feel like nobody will listen. The prophets of old talked and talked and talked about living right, about walking with God, about being in relationship with God, about loving God, and guess what? They killed them. Nobody wanted to hear, but God is saying, I'm still sending my prophets, I'm still speaking, I'm still wooing you, I'm still chasing after you. Will you hear me? Will you turn? Will you hearken? Will you repent? Will you love me? God is just saying, will you love me above all else? Will you love me? Will you love me? Will you love me above all else? Enough to set down your selfish desires, to set down your sins, to set down your idiosyncrasies and follow me and follow my son. Will you do it? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm bringing on my wonderful, wonderful husband of 16 years, Pastor Anthony Simmons. God, Pastor, see, he still makes my heart beat in a different rhythm. Amen. He still makes my heart flutter and my lips stutter. Amen. Hallelujah. I love this man of God. Amen. We see Pastor Anthony Simmons. Hello, darling. Your mic is open. You're on the air.
Amen. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. You're saying some mighty words today, and most people on the listening end, including myself. Hallelujah. It's amazing that, you know, it's Mother's Day weekend, and I'm actually out. There's a lot of activity outside. And there's nothing like mother. We honor mothers. All mothers today, we honor you. God knows he has graced mothers with a gift, the ability to raise children, cultivate children, have that motherly instinct. Just so much he put into women.
Yes.
But I talked to some wives today who are mothers, and some wives who look after their nephews and niece and little cousins, and some people look up to them. You talked earlier about prayer. I read a book, I forgot the young lady's name, The Power of a Praying Mother.
Yes, and Stormy O'Martin.
What's the name?
Stormy O'Martin.
Stormy O'Martin, yes, that book blessed me. Just certain things she highlighted in that book, but being a benefactor of a praying mother, you know, this is just so awesome how my mother, always, even as a little boy, saw her praying. And prayer is effective and powerful. The couples that are staying together, the marriages that are working, those who seem to be able to troubleshoot and handle conflict resolution, those who seem to remain faithful to one another, those who are convicted to try to become one flesh, those who are really working on their marriages, those are the ones that are staying together. You and I, we celebrate 16 years in a couple of months, but marriage is a work in progress. I don't care who it is, no one has arrived. And we realize that to whom much is given, much is required. And that's why you, Pastor Beck, it's so powerful that on your show, we speak to single men and women, and we speak to married couples often. Because James says clearly, if you're double-minded, you're unstable in all your ways. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
If you're double-minded, you are unstable in all your ways. And people in our day, we don't like the topic of morality, you know, ethics. We word it in a way that makes it easy to digest. We use words like compromise and words like being open-minded and objective thinking. And we use these terms that are soft to try to justify mess. If you're double-minded as a single person, if you can't get the moral aspect of your life right, you can't develop values at a young age, you don't make a conviction and a commitment on what's important in your life. Once you say I do to that husband or that wife, that double-minded spirit is going to try to come back and invade your life. Even during the marriage, there's going to be somebody that try to entice you. It's going to be somebody that try to seduce you. It's going to be somebody that try to catch your eye or get your attention. And if you're not a praying wife and a praying husband, if you don't know God and is convicted about who you're married to, if you don't really try to allow that supernatural to become natural and become one flesh, God is saying, guard your heart. Hear me, people of God, with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life. And many marriages, Pastor Rebecca, if they're not divorced or not being dissolved, they're in trouble because we're not putting Christ as the center of our lives. And that's all you're saying to single men, single women, and the married folks. If he has not been in the forefront and center of your life, even on this Mother's Day weekend, you mother, I guarantee you, if you make Christ the center and foundation of your life will be hundredfold better. Your life will be tremendously better. You will have so much peace. You'll walk in so much abundance. You'll have so much joy. Every day you'll have something to praise God about. Are y'all hearing the Holy Spirit today?
Mm,
because
yeah.
If people find themselves complaining and murmuring about the marriage is not what they wanted it to be, you know, my husband is getting on my last nerve, my wife is still complaining 5 and 10 years later, my husband just stuck in his ways. When you make Christ the center of your life, all that nonsense is killed. All that bad behavior, God has a way of dealing with it. And you really do become a new creation. Old things begin to fade away, and behold, you become new. I tell you from age, I'm going to just share this and shut up. From age 1 to 30, I was a different person from age 30 to 48. Glory be to God. I feel God as I say that. He has given me the ability, Pastor, to see my life with him and then to compare it to my life without him. Oh,
Jesus.
Hallelujah. I'm about to run. He showed me, he gave me the ability in this lifetime to see and assess my life with him, compare it, and put it up against my life without him, and I'm here to declare. If you have not made Christ what your life is all about, I dare you to taste and see that the Lord is good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And Pastor Rebecca, so many people don't want to make that decision.
Mm.
They want to straddle the fence. They want to put and keep one foot in this world as if they're going to miss something. And that's why so many are in the church, but the church ain't in them.
Mm.
And the world is looking at us. They're looking at us. and saying, will it please a real son, a real daughter of God, rise up in these last and evil days and stand for Christ?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
Not wavering, not wishy-washy. Put Christ before your children and watch them as they get old. Do not depart from what you trained them up in. Put Christ the center of your life and watch how you go up that corporate ladder on your job. Put Christ the center of your life and watch how effective you become in ministry. I dare you to put Christ the center of your life today. And the marriages that are working in the days in which we're living in, because there's nothing in the movies, nothing in music, not too much on the radio that's glorifying marriage. When you put Christ the center of your marriage, you'll be able to weather this storm in the times in which we're living in. That's all I have to do. Glory be to God.
Glory be to God, my God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Wow. That's powerful. That is really powerful. Put Christ first. Make him the center of your life. My God. Make him the center and the foundation of your life. My God. My God. And then, Pastor, you dare the people to put Christ in the center of their life. Make put Christ first. I dare you. You know what? And the thing about it is that a lot of people fear making that step to totally sell out, you know, for the things of God. And if we already know fear is not from God. You know, God has not given us that spirit. Listen to it. The scripture says, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and a sound mind. But listen to it. He has not given you the spirit of fear. That spirit, fear is a spirit. It's a spiritual attack. And it does not come from God. So who does it come from? God has not given you that spirit. That spirit, that demon spirit, has been sent out on assignment to come and annihilate you, to annihilate your future, to annihilate your marriage, to stop you from moving forward, to stop you from giving God glory, to stop you from praising God, to stop you from living your life for Christ. That fear that says, well, you're going to miss out on something, you're going to lose yourself, they're going to call you a Jesus freak, people are not going to like you. You know, that's fear. That fear does not come from God, and that fear comes to stop you from giving God the glory in your life and from making Christ the center of your life. And Pastor Anthony, that was just so powerful because you talked about double-mindedness. And I wrote, while you were writing, I wrote double-minded equals unstable. I mean, that's just so powerful. Double-minded equals unstable. The Bible says that if you're double-minded, you're unstable. Wow.
And Pastor, that is so awesome. And God, Jehovah, Yahweh, God, his first want for us as people, his creation, is to worship him.
Yeah.
That's why idolatry is so horrible. Because we find not just that we worship Buddha and Krishna and we go worship Allah. Yeah, those are other false gods, but we can idolize other stuff. So some people are idolizing family or their heritage or their cause in life.
Yeah.
Some people make an idol out of things, and they make that idol or their cause or their purpose bigger and greater than God. He says, I'm a jealous God, put nothing before me. In other words, don't be double-minded of whom you're going to serve. Joshua said it so clearly. Listen, I don't know who you're going to choose, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Hey.
He was simply telling them, all of y'all might not come on board. I understand the audience and everybody I'm talking to may not be as radical as I am, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve God.
My
so he was not double-minded. He was not double-minded at all.
My God.
And look what happened to Joshua. He got to lead the people into the promised land. He got his lot. And those who had his mindset, they possessed the promise. God needs to be able to trust us, Pastor Rebecca Prophet. He needs to be able to trust us with blessings.
My God.
People are saying, why can't I have a baby? Why can't I find the right guy, the right girl? If that person comes into your life and you make them an idol, and that husband telling you now not to go to church, or that wife does not want to be that serious about the things of God, God knows us better than we know ourselves. And until you get that conviction, and you know I had that before I met you, honey, that I was going toward the things of God in a mighty kind of way.
Before
I even met you, I was becoming serious about God.
Yeah.
So we got to have that before Mr. or Mrs. Wright come into our life.
Wow. And that's so true, you know. And you talked about those idols, honey. And, you know, when you think about the idols, you talked about idolizing different false gods and things of that nature, but you can also idolize money. You can idolize wisdom. Realize their power. You know, and I was thinking about this scripture that the Lord showed me in Jeremiah chapter 9. I just want to share Jeremiah chapter 9, and this hit me hard when I read this. I was like, Lord, this is good. Jeremiah 9:23, and it reads, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And I thought that was so powerful. That was Jeremiah 9, chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. I thought it was so powerful. God was like, don't boast in the fact that you got riches or wisdom or power. He said, boast in the fact that you know and understand me. He said, these are the things that I delight in, that you understand me, that it is I who exercise love and kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth, that it is I who have the power and am in control. He says, when you delight in this, when you boast on this, these things, and this fact that you know and understand me and who I am, then I take delight in that. The Lord is pleased when we boast on him, when we praise him, when we worship him, when we glorify him. And that's just so powerful that we have to shift. We need to shift our focus and shift our perspective on what we're going to idolize and whom we're going to idolize, and know that there's only one true God, and there's only one true God that we can worship and that we can praise that will benefit us. We can't be double-minded, like you said. We can't be worshiping God and worshiping man. We have to worship and praise and glory in God, and God will bless us because of that. You know, when so many people are, Pastor Anthony, are waiting, wondering why they can't be blessed in their marriage, you know, and what we have to understand, or why they can't be blessed to be married. And what we have to understand is that God is not going to bless us to have a husband that adores us or a wife that adores us if we can't adore him. My God, he's not going to give us, we reap as we sow. As we sow love and adoration to God, as we sow love and adoration to God, then God sows back that same love and admiration. Now, he already loves and admires us, but he, on top of that, the whipped cream and the strawberries and the cherry on top is the blessings, my God, that come with us loving on him. He just blesses us and gives us the desires of our hearts. So that is just so powerful that as we are single-minded, as we become single-minded, then we can receive stability from God. As we become single-minded, then we can receive stability from God in every single area of our lives, in our marriages, our money, our ministry, my God, our mindset. As we become single-minded, then every area of our life is blessed. And that's some powerful stuff right there.
Yeah, that is powerful. You know, a lot of the news this weekend is circled around, you know, our president and his recent statement this week about same-sex marriages turning from being on the fence or just allowing the nuptial agreements to go forward and thinking that was okay. He made a declaration, first president ever throughout the history of this country to become an advocate for same-sex marriages.
Wow.
And to me, you know, especially of African-American descent, a lot of people don't like you to say anything against our president just because he's black. But it's one of those things where it is that is just blatant double-mindedness to me. Your thought for 4 years is one way, and then as we approach a new election year, you get a change of heart on a very serious issue. That, to me, is being double-minded. Now, yes, we can get revelation, and yes, we can grow, and yes, we can have a change of heart, but things like that, we got to have a conviction on that marriage is between a husband and a wife. And
yeah.
All of this, and when you look at it in the spirit, all of this weakens the institution of marriage between the husband and wife. I read some of the articles, and he said some of his daughters have friends who have same-sex parents. Now, those same-sex parents did not create those children. Help me, Holy Ghost. There's some things that are just so common sense. As we look at the world, male and female, he created them, and then be fruitful and multiply, meaning have more seed, more people, create children through sperm and through the egg and through fertilization. That cannot happen through science. I know we're leaning towards scientists. I know we're making technology and science a god in our day. But, Pastor Rebecca, there are some things God not going to bend on. I don't know of anyone who can create a person or an animal. I don't know of anyone that can put this sun in the sky that I'm looking at right now. There are some things that man just can't do. And we want to justify everything because we want to not create friction. But when you stand husband and wife, or when you stand as a Christian, the world do respect that. Sometimes we don't think the world respects us, but they do respect that. And they want someone to really stand up for what they believe in. So it's so powerful that you said when we're single-minded, not just on issues, but on the things of God. So it's so powerful, and I pray that somebody call in today to chime into this conversation, because if ain't nobody getting blessed, I know I'm getting blessed.
Amen.
We got to stimulate people's mind and stimulate their thought, because one of the things the devil's doing in this hour, Pastor Rebecca, is taking away reason or reasoning or logic.
Yeah.
I used to love logic. I took a course in college, a logic course in reasoning and understanding. Certain things are so basic, and the enemy is so cunning, he's even taking away people's ability to process and think it through. And look at it just through common sense lenses. And he's removing that in this day from people who are so intelligent in one aspect, and then they look like fools in other aspects of life.
Yeah.
So we need to turn back that tide, and we need to stop playing and be for real about the things of God.
My God. My God. Yeah, I agree. And that was a great point to me. You said, and again, we invite you to call in 646-652-4832. Press 1 to raise your hand so we'll know that you want to be on the air. Let your voice be heard. We're talking about the first president ever, my God, in the history of the United States to endorse same-sex marriages. I did not know that, honey. So you just gave me some information that I did not know. He's the first president ever to endorse same-sex marriage in the history of our country. So he made history with that, being the first black president, and now he's made history again. But I think about the fact while you were talking that you said that the devil has taken away our ability to reason, to process properly process information, to properly process our thoughts, our ability to reason, our ability to look logically at situations. And I thought about that. You talked about the fact that he said his daughters have same-sex parents, friends. His daughters have friends who have same-sex parents. And he took that to justify same-sex marriage. So what President Barack Obama did, he took one wrong, come on, to justify another wrong. Now that's illogical. The devil is a liar. How can you take one wrong? I mean, for a child to have two parents of the same sex is wrong, unless they're mother and stepmother. But to have two mommies or two daddies or two women and one of them is a mother and one of them is a daddy, or two men and one of them is mommy and one of them is daddy as parents is wrong. You know, that is just wrong. Morally is wrong. So how can you take one moral wrong to justify another moral wrong? So now these two people, since they're raising a child, they should be able to get married. So that's the stuff that we have to think about when we think about how the devil will come in. He did it with Jesus when Jesus was coming out of the wilderness. He came in and began to take scripture and began to manipulate scripture to begin to manipulate Jesus' thought process to see if he could get Jesus. His ultimate goal was to get Jesus to worship him. Amen. So, and to forfeit his assignment here on this earth. And that's what you have to hear. The devil's ultimate goal is to get you to worship him, to get you to turn your back on righteousness, on God and his righteousness, and to worship him. And by doing that, you will forfeit, you will cancel out your assignment here on this earth. So really think about that. Honey, you still with me or you have to go?
Yeah, I gotta go, but just one more comment on that. It's so powerful that you just stated so much you talked about. But as we are in the days in which we're living in, and one of the weights in New York is one of the states that already have a law that justifies or a law that allows same-sex marriages. There are only 6 out of the 152 states that allow this, but more states are definitely going to come after our president said what he said, and who knows what's going to happen over the next decade or two. But the thing that's pressing on my heart is that, as a black man, one of the weights and one of the momentums they get from this issue of same-sex relationships is that they're saying it's civil rights, violation of civil rights, and they're working on people's sympathy and empathy, and they're working on the consciousness of mankind to say it's a civil rights issue. And it's amazing how what happened during 400 years of slavery and what black people have endured in this country, even so many still having a prison on their mindset because of slavery. Thank God for the abolishment of slavery. But we see centuries later, people still have a mindset of inferiority.
Yeah.
And they want to say, Pastor Rebecca, in parallel, this same-sex issue or this same-sex agenda is just like blacks who were wrongly used for slaves is equal to the same issue that they're fighting for today.
Yeah.
And we need to understand that God is still in control of it all.
Yes.
We got to really give it back to God because, yes, we are sometimes feeling inadequate in our own strength, but you and your family and your individual cause is what you're going to give account for when you meet your maker face to face. Trust me, there's another side. When we close our eyes on this side, once to death, then there's the judgment. And your Christ, your God, through the Holy Spirit, they're going to sit there and confront you on why you made the decisions you did in your lifetime when you had the grace and the ability to choose God each and every time.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, honey.
God bless you.
God bless you. Love you, baby. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. That's Pastor Anthony. I tell you, the man is faithful. He's out taking care of the landscape, and I don't know what he's doing. I don't know if he's mowing the lawn or treating the lawn, but I know he was doing some yard work, but he still took time out to come and be a part of the broadcast on today. I tell you, that's a powerful man of God, and he's an excellent teacher of the word. Again, you can meet us any given Wednesday or Sunday at New Creation Christian Ministries. We're at 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey, and we both preach and teach the unadulterated word of God. So we just thank God for you tuning in on today. But, you know, it's amazing because as we were talking about this topic, and again, we have another half an hour, and you can feel free to call in to talk to me. Call me, talk to me, let your voice be heard on this topic or any other topic. You can make remarks or comments or shout out your mom, whatever it is that you want to do. If you have any special announcements to make, a new book or anything, you can always call in. And we'll make room for that. But he talked about civil rights. He talked about being black. You know, I think about the fact that you would be offended because, you know, they made there were certain people who tried to make us feel bad, black people feel bad because of the color of their skin. Now, when I think about the color of my skin, the beautiful brown complexion that I have, I realize that that's something that I cannot change. The color of my skin is something like the race that I was born into is something that I cannot change. But your sexual preference is something that you can change. Your sexual behavior can be changed. Amen. So a lot of people were saying are saying you're born that way. And you know, we were birthed out into iniquity. You know, we were born, amen, into sin. So yeah, but when you're born again, when you're born again, there is no imperfection, amen, that God allows you through the regeneration process, amen, to begin to change old lifestyles and old behaviors that are not lining up with his word. So our God is able, you know, our God is able, but we just want to let our voice be heard on this topic. People will disagree with us. People will agree with us. But when my sexual behavior was out of control, in other words, when I was having sex with men who, in relationships with men who were not my husband, inside, kind of, I knew it was wrong. You understand? I knew it was wrong. So if you would have came to me and told me I couldn't have sex or it was wrong to have sex, I probably would have told you off because I wasn't saved, amen. But once I got saved and the Holy Ghost came to abide on the inside of me, I really knew it was wrong. There was no doubt about it. Once I heard the word of God, because the word of God, the truth shall make you free. Once I heard the word of God and heard that some of my behavior, a lot of my behavior was wrong and going against God's will, then I had a desire to begin to change. And as I had a desire to begin to change, then God began, through the renewing of my mind, he began to help me to make the necessary changes. He gave me a new heart. He put a spirit in me, and he gave me a mind to obey his commandments, as he talks about in Ezekiel 36. So we serve an awesome God. I'm telling you, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. And this whole thing is just so confusing. It's so confusing for our children. For our children. You know, my daughter came to me the other day, and she's crushing on a little boy. I'm looking around to see if she's listening. She'll be 14 next month, and she can't date, but she can crush. I told her, you can have a crush all day long, but you're not going to have a boyfriend yet. So she's crushing on this little boy. And I asked about the little boy the other day, and then she said, yeah, but I think so-and-so likes him, too. And so-and-so happens to be another boy. And I said, so-and-so? I said, well, is so-and-so gay? And she said, no, he's bi. And I said, what the heck is going on here? Now, this is the age that our children are growing up in. Her classmate is bi, and he's crushing on the same boy that she's crushing on. And that's the thing that's going on, but it's not new, because I told her, I said, back in the day, we had a song came out, Another Man is Beating My Time, Another Man is Loving Mine. Now, some of you may remember that song. And at the time, I was dealing with someone in my life. I don't want to disclose their information out here, but I was dealing with someone who I believe was a closet homosexual. And when that song came out, when the song would come on after I found the gay porn in the closet, I used to cry. You know, I really was crying because I was devastated at the fact that I had to compete with a man. Now, there's no way a woman can compete with a man, and there's no way a man can compete with a woman. You know, it's twisted, y'all. It's just twisted, you know. And here we are all these years later, 30 years later, and now this thing is just coming to the surface, and it's out in the open. There are no more, very few closet homosexuals, even though the kids tell me that they are. But our daughters now have to compete with men as far as getting a husband. Single women have to compete with men when it comes to other men. You know, it's just, it's crazy. What is going to happen to our world? What is going to happen to the world? What is going to happen? Are we going into the era of a modern day Sodom and Gomorrah? That's something to think about. Is this going to look like where the men are going to be beating down the door to come and sleep with other men? Come on, somebody. Can God really be pleased? Can God really be pleased with what's going on? My God. So we got to pray, y'all. We got to pray. We have to pray. You know, my daughter wants to be married. My daughter wants a husband. Amen. And my son wants a wife. Amen. So, and our children, this thing, you know, what is the world teaching our children? That it's okay to be gay? What is the president, our first black president, saying to our little black boys and girls, or our little white boys and girls, or our little Hispanic boys and girls, that it's okay to be gay? I mean, is it okay? I mean, come on. Really? It's not okay to be gay, you know, and it's not hate language. This is not hate language. God loves all folk, you know, but really, according to God's plan, it is not okay to be gay. Amen. So, you know, my email is powerintheword1@yahoo.com. For those of you who want to write me, you might disagree with me, but I'm a woman of God. I'm a preacher. And a preacher, that's another thing. Another thing, what's going on with the preachers? That we're scared to talk about Jesus, that we're scared to talk about God. We go into the secular arena and we go on a secular TV show and we become life coaches. And all of a sudden, God won't come out of our mouths. How can you go anywhere and not say the name of Jesus? And you're a preacher or you're a pastor and you're coming on the show. You're coming on the show as a pastor or a bishop or a prophet. But you get on the show and it's a secular show and you can't say Jesus? Come on. Come on, you got people with no clothes on holding up an award saying, I want to thank God, I want to thank Jesus, and they don't have any clothes on. They got on this skimpy outfit, and you're a man of God or a woman of God, and you can't say the name of Jesus. That's what the devil wants. The devil wants us not to say Jesus. The devil wants us to go to work and not say Jesus. You know, and I'm not talking about going to work and being crazy. Don't get me wrong. Don't go cursing folk out talking about Satan, get behind me. That's just as bad as cursing somebody out. You go to work and you call your boss the devil. You the devil. we sound crazy when we do that. God gives us wisdom on how to deal with people in the marketplace. But when we go to the marketplace, we do not have to hide the fact that we are Christians. You know, if our president can declare that he's a Christian, if the political candidates can declare that they're Christians, then we who are Christians, we can declare that we're Christians. All the Christians can say, look, I'm Christian. You know, and I used to have a problem with this because I used to feel that it would intimidate people or I would make people uncomfortable if they knew I was Christian or if they knew how much I love God. So I would try to downplay my Christianity. Not my Christianity. I would try to downplay my talk about God. In other words, they would know that I was Christian. They knew I was a preacher, knew I was a pastor, but I wouldn't talk about God that much. You know, I would be very careful, and to the point where I started walking like almost in fear, like, you know, I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. But then they were comfortable cursing around me. They were comfortable talking about their sex lives. They were comfortable doing them. So when we put a lamp under a bushel, then people can't see our light. But the objective is for people to see our light. So we need to take the lamp from under the bushel. We need to take the lamp from under the bed. We need to stop hiding our light and at least let people see our light. Amen. So to God be the glory for the great things he has done. The phone lines are open, 646-652-4832. You know, I'm pretty much speaking from my heart. I'm speaking from my heart. So on today, you guys can call in and let your voice be heard. 646-652-4832. Let your voice be heard. Amen. Hallelujah. Call in and let your voice be heard. We serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. And I said it before, I'm going to say it again. God loves you, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian. God loves you. He loves all people. God loves all people. That's why he sent Jesus. Amen. And Jesus came so that you could have life. And if you believe on him, you will have eternal life. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he rose from the dead, came and lived and died, and he rose from the dead, then you will be saved. Amen. So if you need to be saved, you can call me, 646-652-4832. I'll pray the prayer of salvation with you. Amen. Or you can email me at powerintheword1@yahoo.com, and I will pray the prayer of salvation with you. Amen. Again, I want to say happy Mother's Day to everybody out there. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. God bless you. And may God give you a very, very special day coming up on tomorrow. Amen. Go to dinner, get some good food. I like seafood. So prayerfully, I'll have a nice dinner on tomorrow. I'm looking forward to being pampered. Amen. This is your day, mothers. This is your day. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So everybody must be out shopping. Everybody must be out shopping for Mother's Day. I'm going to make another announcement. God loves you, and so do I. Amen. But stand where you're going to stand. Make sure you're standing on the side of the right. I want to shout out Tina Lane. God bless you. Still praying for your mom. I thank God for his hand on her. Amen. I pray supernatural, exponential healing, miraculous healing over her life right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is good and worthy to be praised. Again, there's some great things coming up with the church, and we welcome you to go over to our website at nccmonline.org to take a look. The midday service is not there yet. The midweek service is not there yet. We're going to be putting that up soon. I have an aunt who turned 100 years old last week. Wow. 100 years old. Now, that's monumental. That is monumental. And I'm just, and she was in church. They gave her a party in church. And if you go to my Facebook page, Pastor Prophet Rebecca Simmons, you'll see her. And she's beautiful, 100 years old. Tell me God can't satisfy you with long life. And my sister says she gets along well. She can move. She lives by herself. No, she's not living by herself any longer. She's in a nursing home now, but she has movement of her limbs. She has her eyesight. She has full use of her facilities. I'm telling you, I told God I want 120 years just like that, strong, can see, can hear, can talk, can reason, can think straight. My God, fit. I'm going to be in better shape at 120 than I was at 30. Amen. I'm telling you, I declare it. I declare it in the name of Jesus. I want to make an announcement. We have Minister Valerie Allen next Saturday, 1 week from today. She is having her screening. It's a film documentary premiere, the premiere of Here We Are to Worship in Spirit and in Truth. And that's Saturday, May the 19th. From 1:45 p.m. until 4 o'clock p.m. at the AMC Lowy's Movie Theater right on Koplowski Road in Elizabeth, New Jersey, 651 Koplowski Road, Elizabeth, New Jersey. The price is only $25 for adults ages 13 and up, and for children it's $15.25. And that cost includes a snack package. Listen, you want to get on over to the AMC Movie Theater for this documentary premiere. I mean, I've seen the trailer, and I'm telling you, this is going to be a powerful, powerful documentary. So I'm excited about that. Listen, God is doing great things through His people. He is doing some great things through His people, and we're excited about it. And then on that same day, later on in that day, Evangelist Cynthia Robinson is having a book signing. Evangelist Cynthia Robinson is having the book signing for her new book, I Am Leah. I Am Leah. And you want to go on over there to support her. It's the Love of Jesus Church. And I don't have all of the information for that. I'm trying to pull it up for you. But the book looks like a good book, I Am Leah. And it's the Love of Jesus Church. And I believe the church is in Newark. And this is her first book. This is her first book. So if you can get on over there after the documentary to support Cynthia Robinson, Evangelist Cynthia Robinson, in her book, here's the information. It's 4:30 to 6 o'clock p.m. and is at the Love of Jesus Family Church, 88-94 Boylan Street in Newark, New Jersey. She said, it's time to get your praise back. Amen. So that's also on Saturday, May the 19th. And this is her first official book signing. It's going to be powerful. It is going to be powerful. So I'm excited about what God is doing in the lives of His people. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to play a song, and I will be right back to close us out. Amen. This is another song that I heard. I played this on our service. This is Fred Hammond, and it's awesome. Amen. And I'll be right back in 4 minutes and 38 seconds.
All right, y'all know what time it is. Uh-huh. Yeah. Y'all might as well get with it. Listen up, let me tell everybody about my
He's an awesome God. Amen. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. To God be the glory. We serve an awesome God. Hallelujah. No matter what's going on in the world today, we know that God is able. We know that he is awesome. Hallelujah. We know that he is worthy of the praise, the glory, and the honor. There is none like him. I have searched all over, and I can't find nobody. Can't find nobody. I cannot find anybody. I have never been able to find anybody greater than our God. Our God is an awesome God. He's a magnificent God. He is, oh my God, he is able to do all things but fail. He is the lily in the valley, the mill in the middle of the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Huh? He is our bright and morning star. God is able. He is worthy. I just feel like praising God in spite of everything that's going on in the world. I feel like praising God because he is worthy to be praised. He's worthy. God is worthy to be praised. You know, you look at the news, and the news can get discouraging. You look at some of the headlines, and you get discouraged. I looked at the headlines on today, and I shook my head. I saw a couple of things. I was looking at the headlines, and one thing that caught my attention is that they're selling these shooting targets that look like Trayvon Martin. They're selling shooting targets of a black man, a black face, not even a man, but just a black face with a hoodie. With a bag of Skittles and a can of Arizona tea. And I'm telling you that the devil is a liar. We're not going backwards. We're moving forward. We're not pushing backwards. We're not going back in time. And we're not going back in time. They're going to stop shooting up our little black boys and stop kidnapping little kids and stop molesting little kids. The devil is a liar, and he's already defeated. God is in control. When you look at the world, it looks like God has no say, but I'm telling you on today that God is still in control, and there is no weapon formed against you. There is no weapon formed against you. There is no weapon formed against you that can prosper. The devil is a liar. The devil is already defeated. We're moving forward. We're moving forward. That's right, Minister Valerie Allen. We are moving forward in the name of Jesus. And we're not going to let anything, any circumstance, any situation stop us. The news can't stop us. The world might seem like it's going to hell, and all kinds of things are going awry. And it seems like more and more people are worshiping the devil, more and more people are turning away from God, but that can't stop us from declaring that the Lord is worthy to be praised, that God is God, and God is still in control, and there is no weapon formed against us that can prosper. We are the children of God. We are the children. You are a child of the Most High God, and you can have bills, you can have all kinds of situations in your life, but I want to encourage you on today to continue to push. Continue to move forward. Hallelujah.
All right, y'all know what time it is. Y'all might as well get with it.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, O Lord. Hallelujah. You're worthy, O God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you. You're worthy, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you. You're worthy, O God. Mama, we bind up Satan right now. We bind up the hand of Satan right now. We bind up the hand of Satan right now, even off of my vocal cords, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for praying, saints. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, O God. You're an awesome God. Hallelujah. There's none like you, Lord. We worship you. We magnify your name. We glorify your name. Hallelujah. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. No weapon formed against you can prosper. I said it before, and I'm saying it again, that our God is an awesome God, and he is able, and the devil is a liar, and the devil is already defeated. Hallelujah. And no weapon formed against you can prosper. Hallelujah. Go ahead and praise God anyhow. Praise him anyway. The devil is already defeated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The devil's already defeated. The devil's already defeated. He's already defeated. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He's an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Hallelujah. We have a caller. Area code 973. Tina, you're on the air. God bless you, daughter. Welcome to the broadcast.
God bless you, Pastor. Awesome show. I was going to calling before, but I was actually just listening and also resting. I wanted to call in and say, this is just great, everything that you were talking about, everything that Pastor Anthony spoke about, even your stand in reference to President Obama. A lot of Christians don't want to take that stand, but what you said, you made a lot of sense. And I wanted just to say, also give a shout out to my mom. Thank you for your prayer for her. She is doing well today. Say happy Mother's Day to my mother, Rosetta Lane, and to all the mothers who's listening to the woman's show, happy Mother's Day to them as well. And to my spiritual mother, Pastor Rebecca, happy Mother's Day to you.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much. I received that, and I'm looking forward to celebrating on tomorrow. It's amazing because I was praising God, and then I just lost my voice, and I'm like, what in the world is going on? My son is upstairs cleaning up, and I said, what kind of chemical? I had to get off and go and say, what kind of chemical is that you're using? He said, fantastic, and he's cleaning the bathroom, which is up above where I am, and I was like, oh, my goodness, stop using that. Just stop it. Don't use any more of that.
Amen, amen. Well, I'm glad that you got your vocals back, because I noticed it as well.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for calling in and giving us your comments. And I'm glad that your mom is feeling better. I'm glad that, you know, I know it's been a journey, and but God, he's keeping you all. And I'm glad that to hear that, you know, day by day that, you know, she's progressing, and we believe, and we know God is going to bring her into 100% wellness, 100% recovery. So we just thank God in advance, and I know you've been praising God in advance for her healing.
Yes, amen. I have. I've been praising him in advance. So this is not a sad Mother's Day because she's in the hospital. I'm still praising him. She's still here. To God be the glory.
Amen. And Minister Valerie Allen said, praise God. Praise God, Sister Tina. You know, that she's still yet in the land of the living. In the land of the living. I was being so spoiled because my mom's in Florida. And when she got my mother told me about a year ago, that she was moving to Florida. I thought I was holding it okay, but she was a member of the church, and I got up to announce it to the congregation, and I started crying like a baby. Like, I was just crying like a baby, telling the congregation that Mother May was moving to Florida, because it was hard for me to take. But you know what? I rejoiced, you know, because since then my husband's mom has gone on to be with the Lord, and, you know, that saddens us because she was such a blessing to our lives. But I rejoice now knowing that mom is still yet here. You know, she's still yet here in the land of living, even though I can't see her every day. She's here. And we rejoice with you today, especially because mom is still yet here. And even though she's coming through a surgery, you know, coming and she's in the hospital, but God's bringing her out. God's
Amen.
Bringing her out. So we rejoice with you in that also. So God bless you and thanks for.
God
did you have anything else you want to?
Pretty much. You said it all. You pretty especially. I wasn't surprised. Amen. What you said about what Kayla had experienced, because
yes.
A lot of children I've been dealing with lately, you know, they have made the same statement. Oh, well, she's bisexual. He's bisexual, and I'm like, wow. You know, it's just a normal conversation where years ago it wouldn't have been even considered to be a conversation, but now it's just normal that now you have young ladies competing with other young men over a boy. That is
yeah.
It's just like, wow, that happens on a daily basis in the school, and it happens sometimes even in the church. So I'm glad that you spoke about it and you're saying something about it, because a lot of people don't want to. A lot of people are angry with President Obama, which, and I don't agree with him, because he should not endorse marriages, gay marriages. But then it's also in the church. We're angry with him, but we allow certain things in the church to happen. And with homosexuality, where we don't take a stand, we're angry with him, but we will attend a wedding of two men or two women getting married. But we're angry with the president.
Oh, wow, we will. Wow,
some of them will, but they don't.
That's
it's
good.
Like
that's
okay,
good.
Because they feel as though they're taking their own personal stand with. Like I have a choice, but there is no choice. Either you want to stand for it. For what God says, or you're not. You just can't make a decision whether, okay, it's a friend of yours who's gay, so it's okay for you to attend. Oh, no, you have to take a stand. And that's what we're saying about the president. We're saying that he didn't take their stand that we wanted him to. So as Christians, we also have to believe that we have to take a stand in certain things when it comes to homosexuality and also when it comes to it in the church. And we can't just, well, when Pastor Anthony was preaching in the same house, when he was talking and saying some things that we're doing, we're putting on the fence. Some things Christians just put on the fence, they put on the back burner because they don't want to address it. But it's there. So this is nothing different. They see it. You may see it in your church and nobody wants to take a stand. But it has to be addressed.
And I agree with that. And, you know, you will see you will see people in the church that are in a different lifestyle, that are gay, but you still, that should not stop you from preaching the message, you know, that being gay is not okay, you know, and a lot of people stay away from stuff like that. They will not address the issue, like you said. And if you go to a wedding with two men getting married together, then you are endorsing that lifestyle, you know, whether you know it or not. You know, you're saying, you know what, I'm okay with you guys getting married. I'm here. I'm celebrating with you. So we have to be careful, like you said, on how we handle the issue. You know, we got to be, you got to be in a position to minister to the people, but you cannot just stay away from the issue. You got to address the issue as Christians. And a lot of us, we don't want to, because we don't want to be, ostracized. We don't want people to think that we're being holy rollers or holier than thou, but we have to stand for holiness. You know, we have to stand for holiness. And now that you mentioned that, one more thing I want that's really been in my heart that I have not wanted to address, and I noticed that Bishop Eddie Long is back on TV. And, you know, he had come off TV with his broadcast for a while after the scandal with him and the boys, the young men, actually. And now he's back on TV, and it's almost like it never happened. And that happens a lot in the church with scandal. Now, I don't know if he's innocent or guilty as far as those, because there was a settlement. But what I'm saying is that we have a lot of pastors who are molesting kids in the church, and we have to, if we even hear that rumor, then we want to tread carefully when it comes to that individual. In other words, for those of you in Atlanta who are going to this church, just be careful with your children. I'm not saying he is or he is not a child molester. I'm just saying be careful with your young boys and anybody in the church. Don't let your boys go to the bathroom by themselves, you know, because the men's stalls are open and there are pedophiles hanging out in the bathroom waiting for your child. Don't let your little girl go to the bathroom by herself. You know, supervise your children in church because a lot of little boys and a lot of little girls are being turned out into a lesbian lifestyle, into a gay, a homosexual lifestyle in church. So we need to be careful with our children, and we'll pick that up at another time because I'm out of time. It's 3:01. But, Tina, thank you so much. I don't know if you had anything to say about that just before we go up the air.
No, you summed it up pretty well. And I was actually, I was just talking to a friend of mine about this morning at breakfast about Bishop Eddie Long and how the scandal has kind of ceased, so then it allows him to now go on like nothing ever happened. And that's usually what occurs. That once the scandal is over, no one's talking about it. And it's going to be amazing tomorrow. A lot of the pastors, just a quick summary, a lot of pastors are going to talk about President Obama's stand tomorrow, and a lot of them may condemn him. But like you said, some of them don't even take their stand in their own church of homosexuality, but they're going to preach about him tomorrow.
Yeah, and they were very quiet with the Bishop Eddie Long thing.
Nobody talked about Bishop Eddie Long.
Yeah, nobody wanted to talk about that. But we have to protect our children, you know, no matter what's going on. You know, don't let your boys sleep over at their friends. You know, boys don't sleep with boys. Girls don't sleep with girls. Boys don't sleep with grown men. You know, these things, and we heard it with Michael Jackson. We've heard it over and over and over again. Let's be more careful about our children because a lot of them are being turned out into a homosexual lifestyle through molestation. So with that said, we're going to go off the air. Tina, thank you so much. God bless you.
You're welcome. Love God you. Bless you. Love you, too.
Amen. Well, we're going off the air now. God bless you all. Have a blessed day. This is Pastor Prophet Rebecca Simmons. This has been the Woman to Woman, Woman to Man show. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. We're going out with Pastor Alicia Cooper and gratitude. Amen.
Live a life of victory.